Today, in place of a Devar Torah, I thought we would play spiritual charades. So I'll tell you in a moment what I mean by that, but I want to give a little background to it and go back to important innovators like Peter Pitsula and Joe Milgram, who developed, as some of the earliest people in our time, a notion of bibliodrama, of imagining ourselves inside the Torah, acting out the characters, imagining what their life and backstory was, what the emotions they had were, in order not only to breathe life into the Torah, but to give those acting it out a chance to enter into the Torah in a different way. And out of those early innovators' works, you had people afterwards like Joel Grisham at Torah Ora, storytelling, I always stumble over that word, who have taken that notion of bibliodrama and tried to bring it out a little bit further in different ways. What we're going to do is go in a different direction from one line and try to expand a single line in our portion out into the larger world of how a line in Torah can speak to many people and talk about an experience. So the line that we're looking at comes from the very beginning of our Torah reading, in which Jacob has fled from his parental familial home, and then in the middle of nowhere, in a place that will come to be called Beth-El, has a dream with the famous ladder, with angels rising up and descending. And Jacob wakes from this dream and offers us a rather compelling line, Achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. There is God in this place, and I did not know it. A lot of our traditional commentators have wondered what that line means. And I think that in many ways, all of us, or many of us, probably have had a similar sort of line. So I've asked five people are going to come up and say the exact same line that Jacob did, and then we're going to play spiritual charades. We are going to try to imagine, listening to how they present that single line, what their story might be. So with that said, if I can call up our five guinea pigs, I don't know what we should say, our five faithful students of Torah. So we'll have them, we'll get to hear them all do it one time first, and then we'll have each one do it again, and as they do it, we then will analyze it. So it looks like Rabbi Isaac is...
So surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. So
maybe the instructions from me weren't clear enough. So we're just saying the line with that notion in our heads of what that backdrop is. You'll get to do it a second time. So
say this, but you mean this.
Yeah, I'm supposed to act it out.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on. We're going to guess it.
Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. I don't know how different it was from how you did it.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
So let's just each person do it again, and then we'll pause, and we're going to get a chance to imagine what that story could be, and then they will share it. So
now I understand a little bit better.
Okay.
Actually, the answer I thought was on the other side of the card, and it says 7550 Northeast Irving. Surely God was in this place. And I did not know it.
So what do we think? What might be the backstory of someone saying that line in this way? Beautiful, a sense of wonder in the say, right? That there are moments in our lives where awe, whatever word we want. Beautiful.
Curiosity.
Wonderful.
I missed my opportunity.
God was in this place and I didn't know it. If I had known it, maybe I would have done something differently. Beautiful.
I read about this in a book.
I went completely onto a tangent about two fishermen talking, and one of them says, I have this great book on fish and how to catch them and where they go. And the other person says, is it good? And he says, it's fantastic. The only problem is the fish haven't read the book. All right, let's have Ed do his line now.
Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it.
You can take your stage bow now. I can tell Ed wants to.
I should just stick to music.
All right. So hold on. Forgive me. I messed up. So Rabbi Isaac, when you said that line filled with wonder, with a sense of missing an opportunity, or maybe have learned it in a book. Who were you? What were you thinking?
Well, read what I've got here.
Sure.
So my line. After a big professional advance that you never thought would happen. So the issue is, where in a sense, coming here to Neve Shalom, do you find God? Really, in all the celebrations, in all the tragedies, in all the conversions, in all the life cycle of it, in somehow being privy to all those private things in people's lives, and that's a little booper in me, but that's where I've found God.
Beautiful, right? There's this notion, right, of one's own career, and it is this element of surprise of the encounter in which, separate and apart from all that. Beautiful. So, Ed, you come on up, and then say your line again. We're going to analyze it, then you're going to do the exact same thing.
Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it.
So what might be happening for this person? Until I saw Karen's hand, I was going to say absolutely nothing, apparently.
Unexpected surprise. Not
what I expected. There's a rule book. I was supposed to, right? I did everything I was supposed to. Not what I expected, okay? Still maybe. This is a process. It's not something wonderful.
He hasn't read the last chapter in the book yet.
Who wants to read? When you have a really good book, you never want to read the last chapter. I'll sometimes leave like a good novel unfinished for a while because if I finish it, it's over. And that wonder, that process is done. All right, so Ed, who were you? What were you thinking about?
So I'm supposed to be Jacob after his dream. For me, that means just astonishment, surprise, and no time to process. I haven't even begun to do anything with this. It's just the moment.
Fantastic. It took you unawares, right? I love that notion of process, and you really picked up on that, right? It's not clear, and we're going to come back to that at the very end as well. So that's fantastic. Okay, Sherry.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
A little bit different sense, right? Did I see your hand?
Regret. I missed the moment.
Perhaps it's regret of missing the moment. Loss.
What do I do now?
Loss, sadness. What do I do now? Maybe upset with oneself.
Missed the mark.
Missed the mark. Anguish.
This is horrible.
How could God be here? It's amazing, right? The single line that we sort of embody. And these are, they have this in the commercials. These are real people, not trained actors, performing these lines. And yet, right, tremendous. We're approaching it. We're reading it. We're trying to hear something. So go ahead.
First, I'll tell my story.
Thank you.
My father died 3.5 years ago. And he had Parkinson's disease and some dementia, and then he got leukemia. And my mother died 6 months ago. And my line is, daughter at father's deathbed watching him disappear. And my own father disappeared long before he died.
Right. And what a fantastic question that lingers here that was said, how can God be here in this experience? And very often, we find that that's exactly when we encounter God, for some. For others, that's the place where God seems most distant. But that even in this place of tremendous loss and watching people we love disappear, there is sometimes this opening which can change us.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
Not quite as bereft, right?
Maybe he didn't know it, but now he does know it.
Fantastic. So here, we would assume that this line in the Torah is telling us exactly that, that I didn't know, now I do know, and I am changed. We've already heard that may not always be the case, but here there seems to be for you a sense that, okay, I got it.
He or she
they healed. The doctor here. Beautiful. So we're imagining it with what Jeff actually does as a doctor, that something miraculous happened, even though I was involved, wasn't, and might not have expected it to be. Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, I didn't know this was a non-smoking area. Forgive me. Right? How often we use that excuse also, right? But nobody told me, so I acted what I did. And maybe if there is no God here or wherever, maybe then I don't have to be beholden to behave a certain way. Let's hear what Jeff was thinking.
I think all those comments got somewhat at the truth of my story with this. It's a father at the birth of his first child. And my story is I was actually intimately involved in the birth of my first child, which was somewhat difficult. And I was kind of caught up with the obstetrician who was doing most of the work. But she came through, but I kind of, obviously, you know God is there. But in the midst of all of the stress, you can forget it and then obviously recall it at later times. And she came out better despite me.
It's, you know, that's one of the great examples for most of us who are parents. You often hear people say how aware they are of God's gift to us at the birth of a child because it is so miraculous, but what Jeff also brought out, and the mothers here may attest to even more strongly, is there's, it's a long process before the little sucker pops out. And it doesn't always feel like God is there. In fact, you might be screaming something very differently. And the whole process, therefore, not just the outcome, gets reread, in part because when you see your beautiful child, right, it lets you know what all the pain and suffering and struggle were for. Sometimes our understanding that God is in something difficult only becomes clear when we see the outcome. So fantastic. Deb.
Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it.
Why me?
Anger. Why me? Oh, wow. How could God be here and it still happen? How can there be evil in the world if there's a just God? God isn't here. We say things ironically, in anguish. We say things to get through something difficult, with that heightened sense of spiritual irony.
If this is a test,
if this is a test, you've gone too far. Yes. Please retune your set, because this image is not okay.
Yep. Nigerian woman after surviving terrorist attack by Boko Haram.
So we, you know, many people have sort of wondered in the aftermath of Paris and how much our attention has been focused on there, why we haven't felt similarly about all the continual terrorist attacks around the world. Boko Haram, as I like to point out, there are a million displaced people in Somalia who the news doesn't even cover. We're in a cycle. But there is this tragedy that occurs in God's world. And what do we do with it? And how could this happen? Or what is the possibility? So what was interesting is a lot of the time we got from their tone what they were saying, right? But there were also times, right, where we didn't read it correctly, right? Yes, no? So a little bit of both, and we're going to come to that point right at the very end. In this parsha, Jacob, twice, at the very beginning of the parsha and at the end, we have this root of, you guys can sit down, thank you. Let's give them a quick hand. We'll be performing next at 2900 Southwest Peaceful Lane. Oh, wait. This is word vayifga bamakom, or yifgubo at the very end. A encounter, a chance happening that was not planned. It's actually in Hebrew, the same root is the word for pegua, or a terrorist attack that we last heard about through Deb's line. So, vayifga bamakom. Makom is one of the names for God, meaning God as place. God is found in geography, if you will, but a happenstance. And our tradition, as I'm sure some of us know, ascribes different prayer services to the different patriarchs. Abraham with Shachrit, Isaac with Mincha when he is walking through the fields, Lasuach, and meditating, and that's where he encounters his bride-to-be. So he's in those cases, there's an intentionality to trying to find God. They're doing something accurate. And with Jacob, the Mariv service, which is sort of optional even in the tradition, we have a notion of something happens and I was not planning for it to be. And it crept up on me. And when we say Mariv, in a certain sense, we are as the forces of darkness, of night, occur when anything can happen, when the subconscious rises up, when the parts, the messy parts of life, rear their heads. That seems to be Jacob's prayer. He surrounds his head with rocks. This man is terrified, perhaps, as the coyotes howl in the distance, this chance encounter. And I think for many of us, we come to synagogue and we hope to have an encounter with God. And sometimes it is most easily found in that connection with other human beings and their stories. And sometimes the words of the prayers really touch us and open us up. And so that's that intentionality of Abraham and of Isaac. But in life, too, the unexpected comes up. And that's, to me, in all those cases, how we find God also, the serendipitous, whether for good or bad. Final thought I want to leave us with before we turn to Musaf and encounter, by intention or accidentally, God in the Musaf service, is that we read these lines sometimes correctly and sometimes not. And I wanted to introduce this as a very early witness to the dialogue work that we're going to be doing, in which we try to understand others, but how important it is to know that, as clear as it may seem to us that I understand someone, I'm often not right. I'm making my own decisions about them. I'm not checking them in. And when it comes to the world of ideas, to the realm of politics, to deeply held beliefs, we have to be so careful that we check in and understand what that other person's experience is, that we, in a certain sense, vayifganu bam, that we allow ourselves to encounter them and understand their perspective. Because if we don't, then that serendipitous moment where we encounter God through other people's eyes is also lost.